Today on the show, I have Ola Goldsmith. She is an absolute boss babe. We talk about her time on Dragon's Den. We talk about the pros and cons to investment. We talk about personal branding. We talk about her top tips for businesses to make more money. We talk about a lot. So without further ado, here she is.
Hi guys, my name's Ola Goldsmith. You may have seen me on Dragon's Den with my hair business. I'm now helping hair and beauty business owners grow their business faster with my affordable private members group. At just £7 a month, you can cancel anytime. You'll get access to a private members portal full of resources, training, cheat sheets, and so much more. Plus you'll get access to my private Facebook group where I'll deliver live coaching each and every month. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today.
Ola, welcome to the Life of KG. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. And thank you for having me on.
You're so welcome. I'm really excited about this episode because obviously we've just done your event on the weekend, which was amazing, by the way.
I literally loved it. I'm still like, oh my God, can we do it all again?
I bet. It's such a hype. And then when you're finished, you're like, oh, when's the next one? Book the next one. Yeah. Oh, I love that. So can you just introduce yourself and tell everyone who you are and what you do?
So my name is Ola Goldsmith. I am a hair extension specialist. So I'm really, really well known for weaves. I've just given up my salon, but I was a salon owner for many years. I'm a hair extension educator. I've just gone into business coaching for other hair and beauty professionals. I've just started doing events and I do business retreats as well. But yeah, I'm more well known for teaching hair extensions, especially weaves, online, worldwide and in person.
I love that. So let's go back before now, before business started. How did you even get into business? Did you just wake up one day and was like, oh, I'm going to start a business? Or was it kind of a gradual process?
So when I was at college, I was doing beauty therapy. So I did level 2 and level 3 beauty. When I finished, everybody was like, oh, I'm going on the cruise ships. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I was like, oh, I just want to work for myself. I just want to be able to do what I want, when I want. And I want to work for myself. And I just started a mobile beauty business. I loved having my own business and having my own money and having my own schedule, but I just didn't like the services. So then I came out of beauty and I started doing other little bits of modeling, and I was just living my life. I was just a young person living my life. And then I got a job in sales. I did a little bit of advertising sales, and then I got into car sales. And when I met he wasn't my husband at the time, but my partner, we decided we wanted to buy a house, and I just needed more money. I was like, I need more money. I think I'm going to go back into doing something for myself on the side. My friend was like, oh my God, you're really good at hair extensions. Why don't you like literally do a hair extension course, get into hair extensions. You can do it in the weekends after work. So that's what I did. I just did it, got into hair extensions for a little bit of money to get our mortgage, really. And then it spiraled from there. I'm one of those people, I'm really, really competitive with myself. So I really want to be like the best of the best at everything that I do. No matter what I do, I want to stand out and be different. Like I always want to be that one that stands out from others in what they're doing. So I accidentally just kept pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And I just loved it. And I thought, you know what? This is my calling. I don't need to be selling cars anymore. I'm just going to go full into working for myself, being the best of the best in the area, getting people to travel for me. And that's what I did. And it grew. I quit my sales job, I was mobile, and then I had a garage conversion. And then the council paid a visit because I had too many cars coming on and off my drive. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to get a salon. So I had no experience of having a salon, but I knew that I had a good customer base and I knew a lot of people. I'd gone out there and made myself known. So I was like, well, I'll just get other people to come and work with me and we'll just build it that way. And like everything I do, I just wing it. Like I just Google everything. If I don't know how to do it, I just
Google's your best friend.
Google it and get the job done. So yeah, from there, it just grew because I just grew more and more competitive with myself. My goals got bigger. You know, my needs got bigger, like having kids. I needed more money. I wanted more money. I want to live the best life that I can ever live. And I know that I need to work for that. So I'm willing to put the work in. So I think for me, business is like, it's like a hobby as well. I just love challenging myself. I love growing. And I like being popular. Like, I like people to know what I'm doing and be interested in it, because anyone that says that they don't like being popular, I don't know if it's true or not. I think everybody likes being popular. It's a nice feeling. So I think, like, I just work to help people and be in demand and help them become in demand.
Would you say being popular is your driver, or would you say money or something completely different?
I think the number one thing that drives me is freedom, and for freedom I need money. So money and freedom are together, and I think being popular helps me make money. So I like it, and it's a nice feeling as well. Like, I get a buzz from people learning from me and, you know, knowing me, liking me and trusting me. So it just all comes as a package.
And your extensions are literally insane. Like, you're so good at hair extensions. Like, if anyone hasn't checked out her page, go and check out her page. It's so good. But you did end up creating where people travel to you. You have the celeb clients. How do you think that you built up that kind of brand where people were like, yeah, actually, I don't mind traveling an hour or 2 hours. Yeah, I'm a celebrity and I want to go and get my hair done with you. Like, how do you think you created that?
So I think I got, like, my first client that traveled, and she told me she traveled, and I made a big deal of it. So I told everybody on social media, by the way, this lady likes my services so much that she traveled. And then I made advertising out of that. So I sparked the curiosity. Like, a lot of people think, oh, okay, well, if she does that, then I wouldn't mind doing that. And I think it's putting the idea in people's head. So I did a lot of paid advertising in the areas that I wanted people to travel to me from. And I gave case studies of other people that had traveled from, like, to me, so that they knew that, okay, other people do that, and actually our work is really good. So I made it a no-brainer for people. I made it the norm. And I know that for myself, I will travel for something good. I went and got my eyebrows microbladed not long ago, and it took me 2 hours to get to Manchester. But, like, you travel for good stuff.
Yeah, I fully agree. And it is about just putting yourself out there all the time, isn't it, and shouting about the type of clients that are coming to you, because, like you said, it just triggers someone else to go, actually, yeah, why don't I travel? And that's how you can build up your client base that way, if you want a particular type of client as well.
They see themselves in you. If you've got one client that will do it, you just need to go out and find more of that dream client.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about Dragon's Den, because obviously you was on Dragon's Den. How long ago was that?
So it aired in 2022, but I actually filmed it in 2021. So it feels like it was like last year, but for me, it was the year before. So it's like, it's 2 years worth of hype, and it's still like, I still get people message me now regarding it.
Oh, I love that. So I don't know how much you can or can't talk about it. We have interviewed a lot of people from Dragon's Den on here, so it's amazing that you're here too. What was your experience like? Tell me.
So the number one thing was, it was flipping petrifying. It was so scary and intense. Like, I'm quite a confident person, and I can come across quite confident, and inside I can be dying. So that's literally it. Inside I was like shaking and crying. On the outside I was like holding it together. But it was emotional. It was everything. It was like the experience of a lifetime. And it's so much more than what you see on TV. So like my pitch on TV was 10 minutes, but in actual real life, it was like 2 hours and 20 minutes. Wow. I thought I was on my hands and knees at one point showing Peter my kit. Like, you don't see all of that in heels.
Oh my gosh. For those that haven't watched it, I'm pretty sure people are going to go backwards and start watching it again now if they haven't. But what was you pitching at the time? That was your hair extension range, right?
Yeah, so I was pitching the naked weave technique, which is a weave technique that I'd created to make the application more discreet and more versatile. So it was a training academy. I wanted the training academy to go worldwide. And actually, what I really wanted was to sell hair at the time. But you get advised by the producers of how much money you can ask for. So the amount of money that I really wanted, they were like, no, mate, it's not going to happen. So I just literally totally thought, well, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. Let's say that I need marketing to grow before I bring out the hair. So I went on and I pitched for 70 grand for marketing to help grow my business in more countries, which was a goal as well.
And just on that base, because we talked at the weekend about how much money you need to actually start a product brand, because I think so many people out there don't realize. They go, oh, I'll get a few batches of hair, I'll get some trays of lash extensions, I'll start selling it, I'll start being a supplier. It, as a supplier myself, and as you're a supplier, it literally isn't like that, is it?
No. So you need money for the testing phase. You probably need just as much money for the testing phase, because to get samples, it's even more expensive than to get the normal products. And then if it's not right, you've got to get them again and again and again. And you need like a pot of money. So whatever money that you think you need to start up, because that's how much product you need, you probably need to triple that. So if it's, you know, if you wanted to bring out a small product range and you think, oh, I need 500 quid, well, get yourself 1500.
Yeah,
that's what I would say. Whatever you think you need. Like, I thought I needed a couple of hundred thousand to start small in a hair extension company. I needed to triple that at least. And actually, you need to look at your market and the size of the market. There's only a small amount of really successful hair extension companies, and realistically, you need millions. And you know, that's something that I learned.
Yeah, definitely. I would say that for most product ranges as well. Like, I don't think people realize how much you've got to invest. And then also after the investment, once you physically get the goods, sometimes you can get bad batches, you have to send them back. Like, that can literally like end your business straight away if you get a bad batch.
Cash flow. Yeah.
So it's a lot more difficult than obviously what people think. So after the show, did you get investment? Did you get approached by anyone else? What happened?
So after the show, when it aired, we wasn't really allowed to speak about it much. And then just before it was coming on, we got given like press and stuff that we could do. And then as soon as it aired, I did get investment. I got opportunities from lots of different people from lots of different backgrounds. And I did get investment from a private investor. I've just literally handed over that business now. I've just signed it over. So it's mad. A lot can happen in a year. So I did get investment and I did launch the hair. And that's the thing with me. If I want something bad enough, I'll get it, whether things change or not. Like, you have to go through the experience. So I got the investment, I launched the hair, and even with big backing, we still needed more. And what I got from that investment was really good. I'm forever grateful for my investor. But just to carry the business forward and where it needed to go, I just physically ran out of what I could give to it. And being in business with somebody else, you need to like match each other. And I didn't want to hold the company back and I didn't want to hold myself back. So I decided to let him carry on with the business, because he obviously, as an investor, has a lot more money and stuff that he can pump into to get it where it needs to be. And I actually had the realization that, you know, products is not where I want to focus. And I think you have to go through it. It's a learning curve. I want to focus on education and coaching and events and the fun things. I'm 36 now and life is too short to be able to, you know, not be able to go, actually, no, I've changed my mind, I've made a mistake, I'm going to move on. There's no point staying in something because what other people might think, or, you know, your pride or whatever. Sometimes you have to let things go and just move on.
I think a lot of people listening to this will be like, oh, an investor, like, does that mean they just give you loads of money? Like, how does that work? I remember when I first started in business, like, however many years ago now, 14 years ago, when I first started the salon and I really wanted to franchise, and I did without an investor in the end. But I was always searching for, I just need some money. I just need some cash injection. An investor will be able to give me that. And so I was searching and really wanted it, until someone was like, do you really want someone start dabbling in your business? Do you really want someone also having that say and that control? And it's not all your business anymore, because your share goes over to theirs as well, doesn't it? What would you say now if someone was like, I really would like investment in the business?
So for me, I'm very much the creative and the brains and everything behind my business. Like, I have a team, but I, good or bad, I micromanage everything. And I know what works. And I went into investment for the money. And, you know, he had a team of people that I thought could help me. Now, I think what you need to do is just be aware that it might not be what you think it's going to be. So for me, at the start, it was all great and everything was great until something went wrong. Then you have like the difference of opinions, different ways that you want to move forward. And then something that's your baby and your brand and you're the brains behind then becomes partly somebody else's, and you have to respect each other. And if you can't work like that, then you can't really have an investor. You're better off just getting a business loan. So you can get money. I, at the time, for what I needed, I couldn't get a business loan. Of course, I probably would have. So I think, like, you just need to go into things thinking that, you know, if it's different, this is my plan B. Like, I didn't have a plan B. So when things were different and when I needed to exit that company, I had to think of a plan B, like on my feet with no notice, and it was very messy. And luckily for me, I've got a really good audience and a really good personal branding, so I was putting so much out there at the same time. And I thought, oh my God, other people in the industry are going to think she's absolutely off a rocker, she's crazy. And I literally was, but at the time, it brought in money, it gave me ideas, it gave me focus, and it enabled me to start again. But I would say, if you're going to go in with somebody else, remember, you're going to lose some control, and there might be conflict, and you might change your mind. So you need a plan B.
You guys that know me know that I love my supplements. It is a must as part of my lifestyle. And I personally use Sky Premium Life. They have a huge range to choose from. So no matter what you're kind of looking for, I'm pretty sure they're going to have. But I personally use the collagen and the hair supplements. And the difference in my skin and hair is absolutely incredible. They are super reasonable, so go and check them out. And if it was something that you also wanted to reach out, you can do that within your businesses. So we've recently brought them within the salon too, so our clients can then buy from us. But you can still just use it yourself, or you can use it in your business. So go and check them out. And there is also a 15% discount code below in the show notes. Yeah, definitely. And you touched on your personal brand in there. You have created like the queen of queen personal branding, like, and your customers do follow you with whatever you do next in business, or if there's been highs and lows, they follow you with that. How important would you say personal branding is? Because I know it's a buzzword right now, but for me, I think it's super important.
It's massively important, because the thing is, you're never guaranteed anything in life or in business. If something happens to you or your business tomorrow and you've got no personal branding, it's going to be really hard for you to get back up on your feet, because you're going to have to start from scratch and people getting to know and like your new business. So if people only know the business and not you, and something goes wrong there, when you start again, you're going to have to start from scratch. If you've got a personal branding, no matter how many businesses you've got, if something goes wrong, or if you want to launch something bigger and better and you've got that personal branding, there, you're halfway there already. The hard work, it's security. I think it's really, really, for me, it's saved me at a time of having to start again. I've just left a brand that I've built for 4 years. I built it very big and very quickly. I've just left it behind in an instant with no warning. And I kid you not, I launched something and within a week it did 5 figures. And that is because of my personal branding, because I had a warm audience.
Yeah, definitely. Business is like really tough. Obviously, we know that as business owners. Yeah. What would you say are your key things as a businesswoman that's made you successful and keep going?
I think for me, I'm very, very open and honest. So I don't only share the good times. I share difficulties, bad times, bad days, good weeks. And that makes me relatable. And I think if you put yourself too high on a pedestal, people can't relate to it. If they think you're only, you know, amazing and nothing ever goes wrong for you, they may be inspired by you, but they may find you out of reach. Whereas I think when you share your personal story, the highs and the lows, you're more relatable, you're more real. and people buy from people. And I think it's, you know, it's normal now to be like, oh my God, this really bad thing happened. Whereas before you would cover it up and like only want people to see the good. Like you would never want to tell them about a mistake that you've made in business or a bad time that you've had. So I think for me personally, it's being a real person, letting people, you don't have to share every little bit. You can still, you know, there's probably a lot of things that people don't know about me and that's fine. But you know, people, you know, like the Kardashians, we think that we know them. There's so much we don't know until they tell us, but we're so invested in them because they let us in. So I think you need to let your audience in. And I think that's really important to put your face out there as well, if you can, not just the business.
Yeah, I put something up the other day. I can't actually remember what it was now. And I think it was my dad. He was like, why did you put that up? And it was because it was a struggle. It's some type of struggle I was going through. I can't remember what it was. And I was like, because my audience need to obviously know that not everything's hunky-dory all the time. Like they need to know that I have these points as well. And the amount of comeback I get when I do put something like that up, because like you said, they can relate. They also think, oh, do you know what? She has bad days as well. Like let's support her on them bad days. So it does make a huge difference for people to just know that we're human too.
Yeah. And it might help somebody. Somebody might secretly be going through what you've gone through and you've told them how you dealt with it. And then they're like, oh my God, that really helped me. And then you put something out, you know, a new product or a new service next to it, and they buy from you because they've brought into the way you helped them silently without you even knowing. Like I help people, like people will message me and say, I didn't want to say anything, but last year when you put that, it really made me think about this, this and this. And I've only just been able to finally tell you that you helped me so much.
The power of personal branding.
Yeah, really is powerful.
Was there a point in your career where you thought, I just can't do this anymore? Let me go back to selling cars.
Oh, yesterday. Do you know what? It, you know, regularly for me, but I don't actually believe it. So sometimes I think, oh my God, like life would be easier if I just worked for someone and they just paid me every month, but I wouldn't enjoy it. So there's always points where I think, oh my God, it would be easier. But deep down, I know that it's just not for me. Like I would never go back to being employed because it's, you know, if my life depended on it, of course I need to feed my kids, I would. But for me, there's always another way. I don't think that there'll ever be a day where I can't think of a business idea or a company, even if I needed to go into a different industry because I don't know, I was allergic to hair. I don't know. But what I'm saying is like, for me, there's no going back now to being employed. It's business life for life.
Yeah, definitely. Same with me. But yeah. Is there any like certain story that you think of and you think, do you know what, that was the time where I just would want to give this up? Like what's been your hardest thing in business so far?
I think just recently the hardest thing in business was letting my brand go. So I wanted to hide from the world. I was like, oh my God, everyone's gonna think like that I've done something wrong. And you know, if you don't go out there and tell them what's happened, they start to come to conclusion, like other conclusions in their head. So I think that, you know, when you've built something so hard, so big, and everyone kept saying to me, don't do it, don't give it up. It made me feel sick because I knew that I needed to and I wanted to, but I did think, oh my God, deep down inside, I just want to go off social media. I want to hide from the world. Maybe cry and just no one know me for a bit, but it's not within my nature. I wouldn't do it. I physically couldn't do it. But if there was any time that I was going to do it, it would have been then. And I didn't. I just came back bigger and stronger and moved forward with what I was doing. But I did like think, oh my God, I don't want to tell everybody. I just want to hide for a bit. But I didn't. So like, no matter what I do, whether I'm crying, shaking, whatever, I'm scared, I do it. It doesn't stop me from doing it. I have the doubts, but I still just do it.
What made you walk away rather than sell your share?
I think like my mental health, because I was beginning to be unhappy there. So like what he could offer the business, like financially and where it needed to go, I couldn't. So if I didn't, you know, let him do that, then eventually we may have failed as a company. I don't know. I just wasn't willing. Like, I love all the customers and I didn't want to force the brand in a direction that wasn't right just to be for selfish reasons. And, you know, working with somebody else that has such a strong opinion of the way that, you know, he wanted to do things, you know, and none of us were right or wrong. We didn't really want the same thing anymore. And for me, what made me walk away is I needed to regain my power. I wanted to be able to do what I want when I wanted and make my own decisions, make my own mistakes, do what I wanted to do. And, you know, just having a business partner wasn't serving me anymore. If I'd have stayed, you know, I don't know if I would have been happy. I was beginning to become unhappy in that where things were, and we needed a rescue plan. And to be honest, he could offer the business way more than I could. So if I stopped him from doing that rescue plan, which didn't involve me, then I could have been holding the business back. And I thought, you know what, let the business thrive and I need to walk away and let me thrive. Like, let that rescue plan continue without me, because I wasn't in those plans. And I thought, you know what, I've got my own plans. I want to make my own decisions and I want to move forward. And actually, selling hair is not my passion. I wanted to do it for the business because it felt like that was the next step. But when I was doing it, maybe my passions, well, I realized that my passions are somewhere else, and that is teaching, coaching, education, events, fun, excitement, like products. That those kind of products were just, you know, I was in too deep.
Yeah, product definitely isn't fun.
Yeah, and it's a very expensive product as well, so any little mistake, and I don't forget, I'm playing with somebody else's money, was a lot of pressure. Too much pressure for me, to the point where the good was not outweighing the bad. So the bad for me, the bad bits in that business and the bits that were struggling were too bad. There wasn't enough good for me. There wasn't enough, you know, sometimes you think, well, you know, you've got to take the good with the bad, but it's worth it. It wasn't worth it for me anymore.
And I guess everything that happens like this always makes us better businesswomen anyway. But exactly. You also, whatever happens to that company without you in it now, you can always say you're the one that founded that.
Yeah, exactly. And people know me for that. And, you know, in years to come, they're not going to hold on to my name forever. They're going to go on and do what they're going to do. And, you know, I will be proud of them for doing whatever they've done. At the minute, where the business is now, I know that I've got it there. So now it's time for them to move on and take it to the next level with my support. But I have to disconnect myself from that brand anymore. Yes, I'm the founder, but that's not my brand. I am Ola Goldsmith, and I like having my name as the brand now. I'm not hiding behind a business name or anything like that anymore. I am Ola Goldsmith, and everything that I do is going to, you know, be related to me, and I much prefer that.
Yeah, definitely. It's obviously quite clear that you know how to make money, whatever you put your fingers to, like, right, I can make this, I can do this, like, which is brilliant. Can you give any of our listeners some tips on how they can implement money in their business straight away?
Yeah, so I think take what you're really good at. So something that you're like, oh my God, I'm amazing at this, and then literally run with it. Make sure you shout about it all the time. And if you can get to a point where you can teach others and position yourself as an educator, education's really good money. So I think take something that you're really good at and really push it as far as you can push it, get more education in it, and aim to be the best of the best in that one thing. Don't try and do too many things at once first. Once you become powerful in one thing, you can do anything else with it. But first of all, like, gain your power in that one thing, and then everything else you can add on.
Yeah, definitely. Where can people connect with you?
So I'm mostly alive on Instagram. So it's Ola_Goldsmith. And then you can find all my links on there. I've got links on my website. Well, it's like a landing page with all my links on to everything that I'm doing. So it's olagoldsmithbusiness.co.uk. I'm trying to get on TikTok. So I've told myself I'm going to post every day on TikTok. I've done it for about a week, which is a record for me. But yeah, Instagram's the best place to connect with me. But yeah, if you type in my name anywhere, really, you'll find me.
TikTok's a struggle, right?
Yeah, it's so flipping hard. I don't know if it's just because of my era. Like, I think if it would had started when I was 18, I'd be like so in there. I'm like from the MySpace days. So like,
yeah,
I'm like, oh, another one. There's another one launched today. It's like Facebook's version of Twitter. Instagram's version of Twitter. It's just launched today. Stephen Bartlett was talking about it. I think it's called Thrive or something. I could be wrong. I don't know what it's called. But I was like, oh my God, another one. And just put that in TikTok.
Oh no, yeah, we're trying on TikTok now as well because they're like, oh, it's really good for when you have product, but it's a slog. All these social media channels, it's like, for God's sake, give up full-time job, girls.
No. Do you know what, I've just booked to call with a TikTok specialist. I'm thinking I might just outsource it and get someone to do it for me. It's better than not doing it.
Yeah, definitely. I don't blame you. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure. You're also sponsoring the podcast. So first of all, thank you so much for that. And then everyone that's listening, go and check out the link so you can go and sign up, go and follow. If you love this episode. Yes.
I like speaking in the DMs. I'm a voice noter as well. So be ready. If you message me, I'm going to voice note you.
Definitely a voice noter. If you love this episode, please make sure you tag us, take a screenshot, pop it on social so we can reach more people.
My screenshot.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Are you a trainer with a salon or an academy and would love to grow with government funding, but just need some help and support? Or maybe you're somebody that would like to start your own academy or even just train. Get in touch today with TMB to help you on this journey. See our link in the show notes.